Good morning. Well, today is the first Sunday of 2024, so I would like to wish you all a blessed new year. And may God lead us into the vision of this year and also let us experience more of His grace. As we begin the new year, we must take note of and be guided by the new church theme. This is our new church theme, Weaving Our Communal Spirit. We as a church have been on a roller coaster ride for the past few years. First, there was the pandemic, then different occurrences happened within the church. Are we all eager to move on, to leave the past behind and start a new journey? So this theme, Weaving Our Communal Spirit, will help us to seek renewal and growth in the new year. And stitch by stitch, we will weave the faith community of Lost Grace Church together, forming new relationships among brothers and sisters in Christ, transforming LGC into an energized and vitalized church community. But what do I mean by being an energized and vitalized church community? Some of you may ask, as we are always full of life. Okay, so we see that this is a very important question for us to clarify so that we know we do not go around in circles and we will end up back to where we were. So we must know what we are searching for. So how do we want the LGC community to be like, especially in God's eyes? And that way, we can follow the guide, the established blueprint, and weave together, stitch by stitch. So where is the blueprint? Well, the good news is, yes, the book of Ephesians, it makes us clear that what a godly faith community should be like, and how it manifests a special new life through the redemption of Christ. So would you all know which book we are going to preach, like here, this year? Ephesians, yeah, of course, Ephesians. And before we go into today's topic, let me ask you a question that an elementary student would know how to answer, but one that a college student may have difficulty with. Can you guess what the question is? Oh, some of them, no. What is a church? How would you answer? What is a church? Yes, Joshua? Or anyone?
Jesus.
Oh, you can say God. Okay. Okay. Do you think that we can call a group of believers when they come together as a church? Would you say that? No. Yeah. Okay. Or you know what? We need to know what is the essential elements that a church must have in order to be qualified or to be called as a church. So let's find out this morning from Ephesians 1. Okay, many people find that Ephesians 1 is very hard, difficult to understand because it contains a lot of abstract descriptions. And indeed, Apostle Paul uses a surreal writing technique to describe what a church is and its relationship with God. And this morning's passage depicts for us a picture of the spiritual blessing in Christ, and the church is right in it. It indicates that the church is not an ordinary organization here on earth, nor is it simply a group of like-minded people coming together, just like those interest groups or social clubs. We are not. The church is, in essence, a community that receives God's blessings, abundant blessings, and is deep-rooted in the salvation of Jesus Christ, and with the help of the Holy Spirit, can committedly live out God's will on earth. Wow, it sounds so complicated, right? Let's go through it one by one. Receive God's abundance blessing. Let me ask you, is it true? Do you agree? No? Well, we can say that now God has been very gracious to LGC. He has given us this beautiful building to worship, a place where we can have our fellowships or attend Sunday schools to learn the Bible. All these are nice, but would they be called or should they be considered as abundant blessings? Brothers and sisters, God's blessings to the church or to us as a faith community is not about having a comfortable place to worship or about possessing abundant resources like manpower or money, or having a great worship team, or running a very powerful discipleship program. It's not about all this. It actually points to the heavenly spiritual blessings that one cannot see with their eyes, but can only receive them with our hearts. And these blessings do not increase because of the success of our ministries, or will they decrease when we suffer a decline in numbers in the congregation? Because these are the blessings that God has prepared for the universal church long before the creation. And that's why in chapter 1 of Ephesians, Paul takes us up to heaven to broaden our view so that we can see from the eternal and heavenly perspective to see what abundant blessings God has predestined to us before the creation. So you may ask, how abundant are those blessings? Paul employs a very special way to describe the abundance. This morning's scripture is actually a hymn of praise to the triune God. It has 12 stanzas, but in the original Greek writing, it is only one very, very long continuous sentence. It is like a river that flows endlessly, with surging waves symbolizing the abundant spiritual blessings pouring onto us from heaven. And the word abundance not only refers to the quantity, the amount, but it also points to the fact that these blessings are precious, because these blessings stem from or originated from each persona of the triune God. And the spiritual blessings are, first we have God the Father who chooses us and gives us sonship. Then God the Son redeems us from divine adoption. And the Holy Spirit sealed us with a guarantee to receive God's inheritance in eternity. All these blessings are as precious as the gold, frankincense, and myrrh that the wise men brought to the manger as offerings to baby Jesus. And these blessings are poured onto us across the time and space, as God has predestined us to receive all these spiritual blessings long before the creation of the world. That is the eternal past. And now, the present, these blessings cover us, embrace us, who are determined to follow Christ, who have faith in Christ. And these blessings will be fully realized in the eternal future when the new heaven and earth arise. So it is like parents who are eagerly awaiting for the arrival of their firstborn son, just like, where is Michelle and Paul? Oh, hi. Well, you can let us know whether this is true. Before the arrival of Joelle, right, you will prepare, buy all kinds of things for her, like the crib, like the toys, like the diapers, the clothing. Is it true? You prepare all this before, right? Why? Why would you do that even before she arrived? Why? Because you love her, right? You love her, even though she has not been born. You love her. Your love for her is already there in you. You cherish this baby. Similarly, the triune God in heaven cherishes the church and us as a faith community. And that's why he has prepared all these precious spiritual blessings for us from ancient time, since before the creation. And because of all these spiritual blessings, precious spiritual blessings, the church is not just an ordinary organization on earth, but a faith community of spirit-filled believers who are fully empowered in Christ. So what is the purpose of empowering us in Christ? Paul asserts that the ultimate objective is to glorify God. When we read this morning's passage more closely, we notice that it is divided into three sections, giving praise to the work of God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit respectively. As each section is ended with words like, or phrases like, to the praise of His glory, it denotes that God gives us the spiritual blessings not only for our enjoyment, but is primarily bringing glory to the triune God. And this is to manifest the Almighty God with our lives so that people in the world can see Him through us. But the question we need to ask is, with all these blessings pouring upon us, how are we going to glorify Him? So this morning, we are going to go through one by one all these spiritual blessings. The first one. Yes, we receive from God the Father His election of us. Scripture says, God the Father chose us to be His children in Christ before the creation of the world. And John Calvin pointed out that election is the foundation and first cause of all blessings. All spiritual blessings begin with the Heavenly Father's election of us. And without it, we don't have any spiritual blessings. So what is election? It is a deliberate act of selection from a multitude of choices after careful consideration. In this morning's map passage, there are phrases that repeatedly occur, such as in accordance with His will or predestined. Now, all these phrases are meant to emphasize that God chooses us on His own initiative. And this election is planned with His careful consideration. It is not done by chance or by random. And this election exhibits God's mind for us. So what does God the Father have in mind for us? It is love. Because of His love for us, He predestined us before the creation to be His children in Christ. Love transforms us from sinners who are at odds with God now to be His beloved ones. Now, please bear in mind, God is not just anybody. He is the Almighty Creator. He initiates to elect us to be His children. It's so amazing. And with this godly identity, we are as precious as the apple of God's eyes. And I hope that we can all instill this treasurable identity in us so that we see how valuable we are. And these days, we heard so many stories from the news that some teens or young adults commit suicide for a whole bunch of reasons. It may be caused by the pressure in job or in study, or triggered by broken relationships. I remember a news that I heard from Hong Kong ages ago. A young boy of like 13 to 14 years old, he jumped down from his apartment that he lived and died. You know why? It's because he had a big fight, a very big fight with his parents just because of his study. The parents are not happy about his study, and they had a big fight. And the boy jumped down from the apartment and died. So we see that when we remember we are elected by God the Father, we are as precious as the apple of His eyes. If we can have this value inside us, we won't let go our lives so easily. We won't despise ourselves, no matter whether we are short or tall, slim or fat,
pretty or ugly, in God's eyes, we are all beautiful. And it does not really matter if we fail in the world's view. We are still His precious children. And even when we make mistakes that cause everybody to despise us, as long as we repent, we are still God's beloved children. And it is because of this new identity and our relationship with God that we must strive to be holy before God. For we are set apart to be holy and blameless before Him. And some scholars have pointed out that holiness is actually the purpose and the witness or evidence of election. Others may see us reflecting His holiness and know that we belong to God and thus give Him glory. Let me share with you a true story. A group of colleagues take a coffee break. You all have coffee break at work, right? No? Okay. Let's say, for this, in this story, a group of colleagues take a coffee break together. All except one take much longer than the 15-minute break. That one singular employee leaves and returns to work on time. And this causes the rest of the group to feel some animosity towards her and criticize her that she is so stupid for not taking advantage of the less supervision. But however, to many, they know that it is because she is a God-fearing woman. Paul also points out that God calls us to be His creation, to be His children, not simply let us enjoy the eternal life in heaven, but He wants us to be pure, holy, and perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect. God desires all His children to share in His holiness and be set apart from the world so that He is glorified. So are we willing to exhibit God's holiness in our daily lives so that the world can recognize us as His children? How much do we value the fact that we belong to God? Under what circumstances do we remember that we are God's children? Under what circumstances? In time of joy, trouble, or temptation? What does the relationship of belonging to God mean to you? I think these are good questions we need to reflect in order to understand what does it mean to us to be the children of God. The second spiritual blessing is being redeemed through the blood of Christ. In this passage, like a notion repeats itself so many times, and the notion is fulfilling God's will or according to His plan. And what immediately comes to our mind is, whoa, God predestines who we will save, who will not. So in that case, why would we want to share the gospel with others? It has been predestined. So usually we come to this idea. But if we read this passage carefully, we realize that the predestination refers to the method in which we will be saved rather than whom will be saved. And the redemption method is by the blood of Jesus Christ that washes away our sins in order to restore our broken relationship with God the Father. And this requires Jesus Christ to sacrifice His life on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins. And He demonstrated His unconditional love for all of us. I'm sure you all are familiar with this salvation truth in Jesus Christ. But there's a new concept that emerges in this passage about Christ's redemption. And that is, all things, meaning all creation, like in heaven and on earth, are brought to unity, being one in Christ. It means the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ not only save us from the eternal death, but there is a higher vision of an ultimate unity of all creation in Christ, which includes man, animal, plants, etc. Then you may ask, How can we be united? Have you ever thought of being united with your cats, dogs, cockroaches, flies, or even the plows and the flowers and plants? We are so different. We are of different breeds. Brothers and sisters, to bring unity in all things means that all things will be brought under the headship of Christ. He is the big boss of the universe, who reigns over all things in heaven and earth. So that when the time comes, the fulfilled time or designated time comes, all things will be restored to the universal harmony as prescribed in Genesis 1. When God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. Salvation through Christ turns out to be God's planned recreation, but a reverse one. Not only do sinners receive salvation through the Christ, through the cross, but God reverses all that he has created to the same status as at the beginning of creation, i.e. in perfect harmony with him and also with one another. And to be clear, Jesus' redemptive plan is to retrieve us from the demonic chaos as noted in the book of Revelation and take us all the way back to the united, peaceful harmony as prescribed in Genesis 1. So how can we achieve this high vision of being one in Christ? And the key is being in Christ. And what is in Christ? It means being united with Christ, similar to being husband and wife in one flesh. But how do we get there? It requires our lives to undergo a radical transformation. A scholar says that to be in Christ requires us to be radically transformed, even to the roots of our very being. It means that our life must undergo a fundamental change that goes straight to the root of our existence. And Paul says, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, and the new refers to a new direction, a new way of being. The old self does not take any direction from anyone except the self. However, now we follow Christ's lead, and led by his Holy Spirit, Christ becomes our core that sits in the driving seat of our life, defining the value of our existence, directing our minds and hearts so that our lives change from self-autonomy to Christ-centered. And I understand that in this age of individualism, the notions of self-denial and Christ-centeredness are very hard to swallow, but such are the biblical truth. So being in Christ means that we must embrace Christ and deny ourselves. Let's ask ourselves, are we willing to do so in order to be God's new creation? And the new creation is not limited to personal renewal and change, but also applied to the church, because the church is a new humanity created by God through Christ. And how can a faith community in Christ glorify God? One way is to show the church is a harmonious group of believers who strive to seek God. They will not be free of contentions. They will still argue or even argue heatedly. But one thing, the difference is they know when to stop and go back to Christ or to God to seek his will. And they are willing to forget their own pride and apologize to extend grace to those whom they do not agree with, because they know that the church is one body redeemed by Jesus' blood. And they must therefore protect and maintain the unity within by using every means and opportunity to resolve the differences. But when the contentious issues involve compromising the biblical truth, they will firmly say no in order to be faithful to Christ. So how can we, LGC, apply this notion in our lives? Let's ask ourselves, do we have harmonious relationships among ourselves within our own fellowships, within our group of brothers and sisters? And then we need to ask ourselves, do we have this relationship among ourselves in church? And how is this type of harmony different from our circle of friends outside church? Is there any difference? And going beyond this congregation, we also have the Cantonese and Mandarin congregations. We all are aware that we have some very basic differences, such as language and culture. What can we do to build and strengthen the connection among the three congregations so that we can cultivate the unity in Christ? When we achieve that, it is the most powerful way to glorify God. So, are we willing to use our broken Cantonese or Mandarin or even just body gestures to try to start up a conversation with those in Cantonese or Mandarin who are very poor in English? For example, do you know what the challenges the Cantonese adults or seniors are facing right now? Or do you know what the Mandarin youth are encountering in their studies or at work? So I encourage all of you to go out of your comfort zone, touch base with the brothers and sisters in different congregations, get to know them, and weave our communal spirit together to glorify God. So the last one, the third spiritual blessing, is the seal of the Holy Spirit. We often say that the most important function or role of the Holy Spirit is to serve as a proof that we are children of God. It's our ticket to entry to the heavenly kingdom, and it's a guarantee that we will have a place to stay up there. Yet this seal of the Holy Spirit is not only limited to the end times, it can also apply to the current now. When we surrender ourselves totally to the Holy Spirit, we may have the chance to have a foretaste of the future endowment in heaven while we are still on earth. Well, it may sound a bit abstract, so let me share with you what I see and what I witness. The book of Revelation tells us that in the eternal kingdom, there will be no tears, no pain, no death, but only peace and joy. Now, have you ever wondered how it is like to have this joy, to experience this heavenly joy and peace? Have you ever wondered? 3 weeks ago, on December 17, Macy and Daniel of the Cantonese congregation got baptized and became children of God. In her testimony, Macy said, after she committed herself to the Lord, she discovered that she had cancer and it has been spread all over her body. The doctors even say that there's no chance to be healed. While everybody was so worried that she and her husband Daniel would question God's love and mercy because of the illness, the reverse happened. And in faith, they asked to be baptized. Macy shared that many brothers and sisters were by her side to support her, cooking for her, praying for her, and with her. So even though it was a very tough journey to receive the chemotherapy, she felt loved and blessed that she has never experienced before. And she had inner peace and joy. The ability to experience peace and joy in face of death cannot be accomplished just by self-determination, but only by the blessing of the Holy Spirit. Both she and Daniel are blessed to be able to experience this, and instead of fear, they are filled with love and gratitude in the midst of such great tribulations. And my thought is, God gives Macy and Daniel a taste of what it will be like in heaven. It also tells us that through the Holy Spirit, we are allowed to experience the heavenly bliss while still on earth. Praise the Lord.
So this morning, I've tried to give you a brief synopsis of what spiritual blessings God has predestined for the church and for us as a faith community. It's God the Father's election of us, the Son who redeemed us, and the seal of the Holy Spirit. God has given us all these abundant spiritual blessings, not just for our enjoyment, but we are going to use them to manifest God's glory, to bring the world to Him. Therefore, we as a faith community should not just confine ourselves within the four walls and enjoy our fellowship with selected groups of brothers and sisters. Let's live a life that is deep-rooted in Christ Jesus, a life that testifies and glorifies God to the world, so that we can demonstrate that the church is actually the living and growing body of Christ. May God use the book of Ephesians help us to learn how to weave our communal spirit together, stitch by stitch, in accordance to His will. So, one thing I need to share with you, you can see this banner, right? Well, this is not the traditional printed 2D banner. It is using the yarn to create a woven tapestry. The reason for this is to physically convey the church theme of weaving a communal spirit. And the design here is to feature our neighborhood of Kisilano. Well, we cannot see it right now because over the year, from time to time, they will put more elements onto tapestry. So that in the end of it, at the year end, we can see the whole picture to signify or to denote how progressive or how do we progressive in weaving our communal spirit together. Okay? Okay, let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you. We thank you for giving us this passage to help us to understand what church is and what our faith community is like. Thank you for giving us this theme, weaving our communal spirit. Lord, may you help us and lead us to start this weaving journey so that we can weave among ourselves and also across different congregations so that we can all come together as one body in unity and in Christ. We thank you for all this. We ask all this in your name. Amen.
So God's